Good morning, everybody. Have a seat. Thank you, Tim. Actually, some good thoughts there, man. The Lord's been faithful to us, hasn't he? Yeah, we've been changing and growing. I was thinking about something, and I was thinking about the idea that, you know, we've become a church of definite purpose, focus. But it's not just about the revelation or the awe, you know, in all the glory of God, we're going to have plenty of that. But we're becoming a church that is founded and strong and solid and walking in truth. That's a good church. A church that's not led astray by every wind or sound or teaching or thought. You know, a place in the heart where you are grounded in the truth and you can't be led astray. You won't worship other gods. You're following the path that Christ has put us on. That's the kind of church that God has desired for us to be for a long time. And I see it, man. I see it. It's working. It's working in the heart. So therefore, what's been interesting to me is we as a people in general, not just talking about humans, we like something new all the time, don't we? We want the next best thing. And so we're always looking for that moment to find something to entertain me or something to, you know how it is, you get bored, right? And so what happens is that when you find the Lord as your treasure, you stop getting bored. And you stop seeking like greater revelation in the, and I'm talking about out of a lustful heart. And then you begin to seek the Lord in a very steady, faithful way. And you know what happens in that? God's always adding more and more greater things. But the idea of the world is the boredoms that come with not being entertained or not receiving all the time. It's difficult to have purpose for a lot of people when things are just steady. And the Lord wants to put a steadiness in your heart so that when he does take you to the top of the mountain, you're not shaken. Because the person that's on a roller coaster, always emotional, they get shaken in the spirit. When God shows you a truth, you can't be shaken by it to the point where you can't enter into it. God wants to reveal his glory in a way to you that it doesn't scare you and make you mistrust and make you, lose your mind, so to speak, in a negative sense. God wants to establish you so that when he does take you into the spirit, you go, I want to be here. And I trust God to guide me. And it doesn't mean that you won't experience things that you're unsure of and all of that, because that's the will of God, is to bring you into places where you have to trust God. But wouldn't it be nice to see things in the spirit and go, this is brand new to me, but I expected to be here. Versus, I'm terrified. Don't ever show me that again. And so the Lord wants to open our eyes. And so the whole idea of handling the truth and the spoken word of God, we like to say things like this. Well, I wish I could see what Ezekiel saw. I wish I could see what Daniel saw. You got to remember, these were terrifying visions and dreams. They were experiences with God that kind of start pulling the veil back of who God really is, and you might start going, oh my God, I'm full of religion. Religion keeps everything in a place of concealed ideas. In other words, we get locked in religion, you get locked into ideas that They kind of set your course for life, and they hide all kinds of truths of God because you get caught up in your own routine of traditions. God comes and he says, I'm going to remove the traditions and pull back the veil and let you start seeing me for who I really am. You got to be ready for that. What am I saying? All this talk. I'm saying that the things that God is teaching us and the word of the Lord is teaching us right now will establish you in a place that when God pulls back the veil and opens up heaven in a way that you've never seen, you'll be ready for it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because how many times you read in the Bible that, take the disciples when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Were they exactly ready for that? They didn't know what to do. Was John the Baptist ready for Jesus to come, the Lamb of God, and the heavens opened up? Was Daniel, when he had his dreams and visions, was he always ready? The guy couldn't even talk half the time. And we go, oh yeah, I want to see all of that. Be careful, like be ready. Like be ready for God. What are you talking about? Be ready. I'm ready for God. No, you need to be ready for God. God, just the appearance of God in a form you've never seen could blow your brains out. You know what I mean by that, right? It could frighten you. We say, no, I have this idea of God. Maybe you don't. Maybe God is kind of like Moses on the mountaintop. What did God tell Moses? You remember? When he went up the first time and he said, you can't see me. You'll die. I'm going to pass by and I'm only going to let you see the hinder parts of me. Because if I reveal myself to you right now, you're gone. It's over. You can't even handle it. So imagine that. So really, what does the apostles' doctrine and the teachings of Jesus do for us? It prepares us to be eternal, to be heavenly. How many of you would say, I know what heaven is like? Yeah, 100%. I'm ready to go there. Do we know? What if there's places of heaven that have never even been talked about that would scare you silly right now in your mindset? What if? Just throwing it out there. What does the Lord want to do? He wants to prepare you to enter in. Because our view of heaven is, oh boy, streets of gold. Ha, yeah. Streets of gold, man. New city. Tree of life, that's it. That's good. I get to be with God. But what if there's more? And there is, right? Well, we're talking about God here, Ann, right? So there'd have to be more. God wants to prepare us. What is God doing right now for all of us here? He's preparing us. He's preparing us. And so I love it. I love it, love it. I'm excited about it. When he said that I will build my church upon the revelation of Jesus, that is what he is doing, and you are the church of the living God. And guess whose name you have written on you? Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And so there, this glory and all of this appearing, what is it doing for us? It's getting us ready to start thinking about the glory that God has for me. Matter of fact, I think somebody read the scripture last week, or we quoted it or something, about eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Man, oh man. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it's amazing to think that we could be so arrogant to think we know God. Walk carefully. Walk humbly. There are things that haven't even entered into your heart yet, in your mind, that God wants to reveal. You know how many times, I can't count the exact amount, but there's times where different writers in the Bible would say, I can't even speak of this right now. I'm not even going to talk about it. I can't. God won't even allow it, which says, Marty, that there's things hidden left. We don't know it all, do we? So we're not know-it-alls. We know one thing. God loves us, and he sent his son Jesus to open up heaven so that we could enter into it and put on the brand new. He knows that. We know that much, right? And that's why we follow the Lord. Oh, that's good, man. But I've been thinking about something. And it's an interesting thing that the Bible becomes, as you grow in God, the Bible becomes very relatable to what we're learning. And Mike and I were just talking about this and how that the Bible's written like in a certain time frame. Well, how relatable is it to us today? How it's relatable is you gotta get in the Spirit and let God relate it to you where you're at, what God is doing, what he's saying. What do you need? The Spirit. Can you do it on your own? No. Now, this is interesting. I have actually had this happen many times, and so I say this because some of you in this room will be like, oh, he's talking about me. I am. By the way, I'm always talking about you, and I'm talking about the Lord and about me and, okay, the kingdom. But it's like, well, how do you do this? And I answer it. Here's how you do it. Well, how do you do this? Here's how you do it. Okay, and I'm giving the words of God, right? Then we get to a certain point where we say, okay, but how? I say, well, you need the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. It's almost like a roadblock. It's like almost, right? So it can be a roadblock to say, I need the Spirit to help me. What just happened there? Yeah, see, we put our confidence in the flesh, like you were talking about, Tim. We put our confidence in the flesh, and we can go this far, this far, this far, this far. But we reach that one spot where we go, I can't go any farther unless the Spirit tells me. Almost as a discouragement. Why would it be a discouragement to have to need God, Micah? Why would it be? How many times we had that conversation? You and I, a lot. Many times where you and I have been in a conversation where you said, okay, tell me what to do. What do I need to do? How do I do it? I said, you need the Holy Ghost, man. What do I want Micah not to do with me? Worship me? Be the Holy Ghost all the time? Like, I need God to talk to you, don't I? You need God to talk to me. Is everybody following? Like, at some point, you've got to hear from God for yourself and trust God for yourself. Or, Julie, how far into the kingdom are you going to go? You just want to get to the pearly gates and say, I made it. Peter's going to be standing there, by the way. Isn't that the story? Some say Abraham. Some say Jesus. Well, I tell you what. I say, why don't you trust the Holy Ghost, trust the Spirit of God so that God can show you anything he wants to. Anything. And then we're kind of free to learn. And the cool part is that doesn't exclude all the things that we do here by teaching you what you need to do. Does it? Because we're still going to teach you what you need to do and what you need to be. And then I'm going to trust the Spirit of God to come in and quicken that and make it alive in you, and you become that. Sounds like a good idea, right? Oh, that's because it is. It is a good idea. So I've been thinking about this relating the Bible, and I don't know. I think what happens is the more I get into the things of God and the Spirit of God, the more I rely on the Spirit than I do the Scriptures. And I've noticed that the Scriptures in my early days, you become very centered on the Scriptures. You need the Scriptures for everything. It's like they are your God. Would you agree with that to some extent? It's like, well, what do I do here? Well, let me go do a word search on what to do. Is that true? What are you saying? You're saying at that age, I don't trust hearing from God. So I need the Scriptures. Tim, I got to search it out. The Scriptures will tell me. We talked about this last week or the week before. Or you come to get counsel and that will tell you. Right? You want to say something?
Yes, a question.
Yeah, question. Okay, go ahead.
Would that be like in reference to if you're on milk versus when you're weaned?
Yeah. No, it is. When you're young, you need to put your confidence in pretty much something that's right in front of you. Right? Like a Bible. Am I saying that's wrong? No. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a Bible with the words of life. Thank God, man. But my point is, as you grow in God and begin to hear the voice of God, I'm saying that you don't worship the physical Bible as being the thing that is God. You begin to put your trust in God, and the Bible begins to witness to the things of God in you. Well, aren't they just witnesses like you and I, the writers of the Bible? Aren't they witnesses? So at some point, some physical person wrote the Bible and we believed it by faith. Well, if God talked to them, God could talk to us. And, you know, I walk a fine line of going, well, don't be too arrogant. You know, these are great men of God. That's true. And we would never want to be arrogant. But I'll tell you what, if God said, I'll talk to you and visit you, he means it. If God said the word is nigh you, Tim, even in your heart, he means that. That your confession is to the Lord and of the Lord, and it's in your heart. He means that, doesn't he? He means to visit you with the Spirit. So I encourage you, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. But there's another thought I had about as you grow. And I'll be honest with you, I want to walk soberly in this thought, but I encourage you to take this thought to some degree. How many times have we talked about desiring the things of God over the world or the flesh or whatever? We've said that more times than we can count. Would you say? I don't think we can count how many times we've said that. How many times they say it in the Bible? We say it a lot. But what about in your life, on your daily life, in your consciousness, how real is that? Like, how much do you desire heaven over the earth? That's just a provoking thought here. And I hope to sow this to in a manner of, and water it all at the same time and let God give the increase. But in a way that it turns on the ideas of God consciousness in you. God-like, heaven-like consciousness. That I want to be with the Lord. Now, the reason why that's a scary thought is because you would say, well, I have to leave my physical body to do that. And one day you will. But let's start right now while we're in the physical body by having a desire to be with the Lord in such a way that that's what we think about. Now imagine, and I said this happens. I've noticed this and I've watched it with very few others in my life. I've seen this happen. That the meditations become more about the desire of being with God than it is about being in your physical life. And I'm like, well, that That's, you know, it opens the door for all kinds of things. Because, well, you're too heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And all of that. That's not what I'm talking about. See, one of the greatest writers in the Bible was Paul. And he wrote about having such a desire for heaven. But Keith, he knew the need to be in the earth. He knew it. And what was the need for? What do you guys say? What was his need to be in the earth once he became a man of God preaching the gospel? That's what it was. To serve the kingdom. To preach the gospel. To be with the saints. To encourage and edify and instruct and build up and reprove and correct. That was his need. And yet, Paul had such a desire to be with God in heaven. You read his writings. For a long time, I thought, you know, you hear comments back in the day, and I'll never forget these comments, because we were all like, yeah. It's like, I don't care if I'm here or not. I'll die tomorrow. It doesn't matter none to me. I'm going to be in heaven, man. I have learned that those thoughts are not true. Those are lies. Anybody that talks like that, it's not true. And I'll tell you why. Because as much as I have the idea of being with God in heaven, I love my wife. I love my kids. Got a new grandbaby. I love life. I love the saints. I love you. I enjoy life. So there's that. So it's like, are we just going to throw that off? Oh, no, I don't care about none of that. I'll just take me on home. Maybe there are people like that. I'm sure there are. But my point is, Paul got to a point, and we can get to a point in our life where we say, well, man, I do desire heaven, but my purpose in life, I'm not trying to get in an accident so I can leave earth real quick. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to end my life here. My life here has purpose because my mind is set on heaven. My life has purpose because I do give my desire to the kingdom of God. That's why my life has purpose. Isn't that for you? Are you starting to think that way more and more and more? Like, my life has purpose because I serve God, and there's a kingdom of God or a garden to tend. You ever thought about that, Tim? Like, God told Adam, or should I say God told you, which one is better? Not only to reproduce and multiply, but you got to take care of your garden, man. And has Jesus called us back to that? Is that the kingdom? God's calling you to take care of your garden and at the same time have a great desire to be with God in heaven. Let me read something to you that's very actually thought-provoking. And I probably couldn't get away because without reading this, because I need you to see what Paul said. And my testimony to you this morning is that this is actually possible. And I can't tell you how many times, and Rick used to tell me this, and it was so hard to believe. Tim, we were just talking about this. Things sometimes in the flesh are so hard to believe that we could attain to it, because what mind are we in? The earthly mind, the mind of the flesh, the carnal mind. See, when that mind is at work, it's very difficult to comprehend that God has so much more for us. So what's the Lord tell us the first thing he wants to do? Bring us out of the carnal mind and give us a mind like Jesus. Could Jesus think heavenly? Is that a quiet room I'm hearing?
Yes.
Could Jesus think heavenly? Absolutely. Right? So a verse you'll be very familiar with, and I could read the whole five chapters here, but it's not going to be profitable to do that. But I want to jump into an idea with Paul, and the reason why I'm reading this is I want to show you this is possible, and I feel like God is relating this very much to the Son of God in me, and I'm convinced he'll do the same for you, okay? If not already. And it's chapter 4, verse 18. And it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So he divided for us temporal and earthly and heavenly, right? Verse 1 of 5 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," what's the earthly house? The body? "We should have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Well, how many just noticed that Paul answered the question of what happens to you when you die? What's he say? You put off the old skins and put on the new. You have a house. You have a body. You have a new body, Tim, in the heavens, eternal. So there's going to be two ways to look at this. Symbolically, as in spiritual, as in, Tim, you're putting off the old man right now. You're putting off the old tabernacle right now. And what are you putting on?
The new building of God.
Marty, you building a new house? Praise God. Isn't that why we come here? To put off and to put on? Yeah, we are. We're putting off and putting on. And therefore, this is so profound. It's like, I have a new house in heaven. And this is where I grew up in church. And boy, we talked about our new houses. They were going to be beautiful. Decked out, man. We got to go around the room. This is a true story. We got to go around the room and talk about what kind of house we wanted in heaven. Come on, people. I mean, we got to hear about our new houses, and it was so relatable to what we loved in the earth. But what kind of house do you want in heaven, huh? What kind of house? What?
The one that God builds.
The one that God builds. That means it's going to be built out of love and light and peace and joy. That's the house that's going to be so beautiful. Because when you think about Jesus in his glory, what are you seeing? You're seeing your brand new house, man. I had to stop there and just say that. This is so relatable now that I have a new house. You have a new house. And when the time comes, and Paul was saying, look, I have a work to do in the earth. I'm going to do that house. And as long as I'm in the earth, I have to deal with that other house. Are you ready for that? How many of you still think sin and unbelief and doubt and all should not be there anywhere in your thoughts? How many of you still think that? Buckle up. Because you need to know that as long as you're in the earthly tabernacle, you're going to deal with earthly effects. But you know what we hope in? Our new tabernacle. Our new house. And Marty, it's being built right now. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to get a new house. We want a new house now. Not because we can't wait in the timing of the Lord, but because that's our desire. I got to get somewhere. Paul, he's got a way of stirring us up. Verse 2 says, this is the word I want to get to. "For in this idea of this new house, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And this is it. This is it, man. This is what I've noticed. The groaning, the desire. You've ever talked about, you know how we talk about murmuring is evil? They murmured in the wilderness. They complained, whether it be Old Testament, New Testament, people murmur and complain. Complain, complain, complain about everything. Well, Paul is saying, how about groaning or even murmuring in a righteous way that you want to be in heaven? Now think about this. Imagine having a clean desire of while you're in the earth, your thought continually thinks, I want to be in heaven. I want to be with God. I have a purpose to do and I'm going to fulfill that. But boy, my heart is in heaven. And you groan for that. And I'm going to tell you why. You say, well, we've preached this before. This has not entered into the heart of man. Many people still groan and desire and go after things of the world, don't we? It's comfort. It's our life. And while that's all fine in the sense of I never want to forsake my family and the things that I need to do in the church, somewhere in my heart, there's a groaning for heavenly places. And you know what? God sees that. And the closer you get to the things of God and the desires you hand your life over to in God, it is a true saying, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And I'm telling you, this groaning for God to fill you, that's what we're after. You say, well, what do I need to do? Put the groan of God in you, and you'll do it. You'll seek after. Because people miss out on the groan. We're not groaning to be with the Lord in heaven. We're groaning over the agony of the earth. Let's keep reading. I'm only going to read five verses, three more. See, we desire to be clothed upon, or we earnestly desiring that. Verse 3 says, if so, that being clothed, we shall be not be found naked. In other words, we won't be without a house. For verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Think about that. Some people are like, I never want to die. This life is not a burden to me. Imagine being in the mind of God where being in the flesh is a burden. Because you're about the Father's business. And guess what? The world and the flesh hates the Father's business. So does being in the flesh become a burden where you got to trust God every day? Yeah. But this is a new way of thinking. It's like our Christian world is so entangled in the world. Our Christian church, our views, we're so entangled in the world that many places you can't separate ideas of the world and ideas of heaven. God came to change that, and if we're all willing, He'll put us there. Not because we're forcing it, because He's changing your desire, isn't He? You know what the Lord told me, right? Sanctify the Lord and He would do the work. Is that being true, Keith? That's all I got to do. I just keep preaching to you. And you go, I'm changing. I don't even know how all the time. But it happened. That's good. And then He says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now that He hath wrought or worked us for the self same thing as God, who also has given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Well, there's your answer on how. He's given you the earnest of the Spirit, and He's put it in our hearts and he said, let's go. Let's go. Let me continue to fill you. Let your cup run over and you will groan for heavenly things in a good way. Ladies, how many of you enjoyed having a baby? There's this like pain and sorrow and yet this great satisfaction. Is that true? Would you agree? You say, well, you don't know about that. Well, have you ever been in the Spirit and experienced it? Because that is a groaning that you will enjoy. Bringing forth the kingdom of God. That comes with groaning. That comes with some sorrow. But what I'm after today is to say that the idea of it is possible. And I'll leave you with a thought that I've said many, many times. We're not trying to get away from our earthly existence. We're looking to go to heaven. You follow me? It's like, all I care is I want to leave. Well, where are you going? I don't know, but just get me out of here. See, that idea is out. The true idea is let God put a heaven thought in front of you and then say, that's where I want to go. Lead me there, Lord. And as he leads you there, what happens? You leave where you were. So how do I repent? I turn to God. How do I get rid of sin? I walk to God. How do I leave all the trials and tribulations that torment me every day? I turn and look at heaven. And that's what we're after. If we could just follow the Lord, this great desire and this groaning, this need to be in heaven, it's real. And you'll begin to experience it more and more and more, and your life will be about the purpose of the Lord. And heaven will be the thing that you want to be clothed with. Well, think about that, Marty. You want to be clothed with heaven. So I just want to be clothed with Jesus. Well, that's all of heaven. Clothe me, Lord. Clothe me. Like I'm groaning in my heart to be clothed with this new house. And therefore, it's relatable in this idea because you guys in the earth have always. Anybody ever build a new house? What do? Just about every day. Drive by it. Look at it. Tim tore his house down and rebuilt it almost. Did you go over a lot, Michelle, and look at it and be like, oh, I can't wait to get in this place. This is going to be awesome. Imagine heaven like that. You visit, you visit, you visit, you visit. I want to move in, you say. I can't wait to move in. That's what it's like. That's what Paul was saying. I can't wait to move in. But right now, that house is still being built. And I got to live in this house until the work is finished. And I'll be faithful doing it. Isn't that awesome?